Good morning, everyone. I am ready for football season. I have my UT, the University of Tennessee shirt on. Oh, all feels right in the world when UT is going to play. So, wish us luck. We're playing South Carolina tonight. My husband's going to cook steaks. We're having steaks and green beans because Logan does not like the potatoes. I always like to have a baked potato, but Logan's a no. So, we're going to go with Mama's green beans that I make for him. Anyway, we're just excited. It's going to be awesome. And today is the first Q&A for all of our newbies. This is an official Q&A call. So let me tell you how this goes so that everybody knows what we're doing. Once a week, usually, I come in and do a Q&A. It's all on your calendar. So if you ever wonder, like, what? I didn't know this was coming, blah, blah, blah. You need to be looking at the calendar on the website. If you don't know a call is happening, it's because on the website, you're not looking at the calendar. So make sure that you put into your schedule that once a week, this is how I set up my week. Like I am in so many different memberships and they all have multiple calls just like we do. And I'm in about five that I actively participate in. I'm in one for my mental health. I'm in one that teaches me how to do membership shit. I'm in one that really helps with like just being a leader and being able to like, you know, keep things organized and all that kind of stuff. So I have all the calls just like y'all do spread out over five different courses. And so what I do is every week I spend time organizing my own calendar. It takes me about 30 minutes to plan an entire week of all the things I'm going to want to do and all the things I need to get done. And each day has its own little to-do list. And I have my little time scheduled. If you're wondering, how do you get that fucking shit done? When you are done with an OBS course, you can take the time management course that we have called Mastering Time, where I teach you my exact process. So there you go. But what I do is every week is I go to each one of the individual courses that I belong to and I take a look at what their trainings are going to be that week or what replays they had that week. And I put on my calendar the ones I'd like to listen to. If I'm going to be there live, it gets plugged into my calendar. If I'm not going to be there live, I plug in on my calendar, go to this course, listen to this video on this day at this time. I am going to tell you guys, if you don't learn anything inside of NoBS, you will learn the value of deciding ahead of time XYZ. I decide ahead of time my time. I decide ahead of time my boom boom most of the time. Every now and then we're spontaneous. That's one of the only areas in my life I'm like, you know, if something breaks out, like if I grab ass there, it's not the end of the world. if I'm over snacking on Chris, we're all good. I plan my time. I plan my food. I plan my exercise. I just think ahead. And it's easy to do because I don't have a lot of bullshit thoughts of like, what if I can't follow it? Or I don't sit around going like, life's never going to be any fun. Look, I'm going to tell you, I have a blast in my life. And you know why I have a blast? Because I'm never sitting around in indecision. I'm never sitting around wondering what I should be doing. I'm never sitting around like, I just don't know what to do. Like confusion and feeling wondering and leaving it up to me. Like a lot of times, if I don't plan stuff, here's what happens. I'll wake up on a Wednesday and feel like shit. I have depression. I don't leave a lot of what I'm going to be doing up to my depressive mind. It's the last thing that should be making the decisions. You know who should be making the decisions? The person who's sitting calmly with a cat, a cup of coffee, and an open book, who's like, you know what? If we're going to like do things this week that are going to feel really good and help us get to where we want to go, here would be the things that we are doing. And then I put them on my calendar so that on the days when I don't want to be doing it, I know that there was a part of me at one time that did. There was a part of me in that moment when I don't want it who said, we actually want better things. We actually like, it may feel hard now, but it feels so much harder later when you're not doing this stuff. Like that's how I think about it. So it takes the overwhelm out of doing it. Now guys, you do not have to sit around and But you don't have to sit around and plan every minutia at the beginning. If you're not used to planning anything, start with food. Just start with food. Then guess what? The next week or 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, start with, all right, I'm going to start planning 10 minutes a day of when I'm going to do this one thing. Like, this is the time that I do whatever, that I keep wanting to do but never seem to do. That's how you start getting it up. How do I stop procrastinating with food? Well, you got to understand, what are you trying to avoid to begin with? Like, it's not about the food. It's like, you need to understand why you're procrastinating to begin with. That's going to come in module 2. So let me tell you guys about what we're doing. This is the end of module 1. So we are in No BS all together, all 10,000 plus of you that are doing No BS right now. What this means is that starting next week, we are going to start working on module 2 of No BS. So if you're not done with module 1, before you panic and like do a sad emoji in my comments and say like, oh my God, I'm already behind, I must be a loser and all this other stuff. Guys, stop. For every one of you who suddenly decided to throw your morality and self right underneath the bus because you might not be done with module 1, get a grip and strap on a big pair of panties. Like, we are big ass grown women in here. We don't need to feel bad over stupid shit like that anymore, ever again. Everybody got it? So here's what we do. If you're not done with module 1, you sit and you think about when you will be finished. Give yourself a deadline. Take a look at how long is each video and say, like, I can get it done on this day. If I do this, I can get it done here. That's it. If you want to be listening to module 1 next week while we're all doing module 2, great. Do that. Who gives a fuck? I don't. You shouldn't either. You know what you should do? Push play. Don't push your internal self-loathing buttons. Those are the wrong buttons to be pushing. So this is what I want everybody to do. This week, we're going to be wrapping up module 1. And all that really means is that today's Q&A is about module 1. Anything you learned in module 1 of No BS. Then starting next week, all the calls start transitioning to talking about module 2. So if you're doing module 1, you could still listen to those calls. And I would bet Logan's future that you could listen to those calls and get something out of it, even if you ain't listened to the videos just yet. All of you have got to make up your mind right now that if you're listening, it don't matter what the shit I say, you can get something out of it. I could come on here and talk about a Jenga game and probably relate that back to weight loss, and you learned something, and guess what? There wasn't a module you needed to listen to in order to learn that lesson. So plan and get through module 1. Everybody needs to be making sure that they are doing module 1, that you're not taking your focus off No BS. And if you're sitting here right now, I don't know if anybody said this, but I'm going to call you out if you did. Right now, if you're sitting here right now listening to the words that are coming out my mouth and you haven't finished module 1 yet, please get off my Facebook Live. Go to pnptribe.com and push play on the next video. No BS is the priority. These are great calls to listen to when the videos are done. When the videos are done. And if you're sitting here right now and you ain't made a 24-hour plan, get off my call. You're breaking the No BS Woman creed right now. You should not be on this call without a 24-hour plan. You should not be in this Facebook group bitching about not doing 24-hour plans. The price of admission to come in here and get help is that you got to at least get your planner out and make an honest effort to do a 24-hour plan. I don't care if you think it's bullshit. I don't care if you're confused. I don't care if you think it ain't going to work. I don't care what your thoughts are about it. You know what I care about? Are you willing to have all that drama and make a plan anyway and then go get your help? I'm going to say it 1,000 times. We're grown-ass women in this group. We don't sit around and act like we can't do things until we feel like it. I promise you, every one of us goes through life doing a lot of shit we don't feel like doing, and we do it anyway. How many of you today have listened to somebody talk in your house when you really didn't want to, but you did anyway because you don't want to be a shitty mother or a shitty partner? How many of you this week showed up for work on a day when you'd like to just go in? As my mother used to say, she couldn't wait when she was getting ready to leave her job. This was her job before she became a nurse. She always said, the day I quit, I'm going to walk in there, crawl up on the desk, take a dump and twirl in it before I leave. A lot of you want to do that, and yet you went to work anyway. So you have the capacity to do things you don't want to do in the moment. All it takes is you saying, and I'm doing it anyway. So make your damn plans. All right, let's see what questions you guys have got. I'm going to put my glasses back on. Can you share a good mental health group or tell us how to find one? I don't have this one. I don't know of a better one. I don't belong to any. I will tell you, I don't belong to other groups where mental health is discussed, because anytime I've ever tried to go to another group or do anything like that, all I get is a bunch of people blaming their depression for why they can't do shit in life, blaming their anxiety why they can't do shit in life. It becomes a big kumbaya of like, yeah, I know. And everybody's just basically sitting around bitching about what's wrong with them instead of like saying like, nothing's wrong with me. I have a lot of thoughts that are creating the experiences that I have around this. I was actually listening to a podcast this morning. And they were basically saying there's like, for all of us who have depression and anxiety and stuff, there's the chemical component of it. There's like this one part of depression and anxiety that makes things harder. And then that's like 20% of it. Then there's the 80% of us hating it, blaming it, not wanting it, resisting it, being afraid of it. There's all the thoughts that we have about it that suck and make it worse. And then there's a lot, like for me in particular, this was a big thing for me. I had to quit blaming depression and anxiety for everything. So I've never really had true anxiety like a lot of you guys have, but I will say as I've gotten older, I think I've recognized that I've had some anxiety and just always worked through it or ignored it. Or for me, working is a really easy way for me to avoid feelings. And so like I can be anxious and work for like 12 hours and speak to no one, so I don't have to deal with it. So one of the things that has helped me is also noticing like, when am I having the difference between when am I having like a depressive episode? Like, when am I actually having depression versus when am I just having like what's real life and some crappy thoughts about stuff that I need to work on, like pulling those things apart. That's always been real helpful for me. So anyway, just a side note there. I don't have any particular groups though, Andrea or Amy. I have two manuals, No BS Weight Loss Course Worksheets and the No BS Planner. Should I use them together or start with the planner? They're the same. So the planner is what you use each day to plan your food and answer questions and stuff. The worksheets are what go with the lessons. So as you're going through the lessons, you're going to do the worksheets. That's what takes the course to a deeper level for you. The planner is what you just use every single day, no matter what. Do you still teach Joy Foods and Exceptions? No, I don't, Whitney. I stopped teaching that a few years ago. The main reason that I quit teaching it is because we do the good, better, best method now, where we talk about all foods are good and all this other stuff. I don't think we have to give joy an exception, like this special category or anything anymore. What I have just decided is that I just think it's better for people to just plan and eat eat when they're hungry, stop when they've had enough. I don't think you have to like limit yourself to just one joy or one exception. Now, what I mean by this is that doesn't mean that you can, like, you have to use your brain, guys. For some of us, we can start weight loss with like, well, I'm going to have pizza every night and I'm going to have ice cream and I'm going to have these. Corinne said, I can plan what I want and eat whatever I want at all times. You have to make sure that you truly want it for the right reasons. If you're planning pizza and ice cream and stuff because you think that you hate healthy food, If you hate other foods, then I want you to examine, okay, is there a way for me to stop hating foods, stop villainizing foods? Because we can villainize good food just as much as we can villainize, like, you know, a Twinkie. So is there a way for me to quit villainizing food and making some of them bad? Like, it can be bad because the taste, it can be bad for all kinds of reasons. Is there a way for me to separate that out and understand, why do I want to keep planning pizza and ice cream and stuff like that? Is it going to help me long term, like with how I want to feel? Do I see myself eating that way long term? It's just a lot about, like, the best way for me to explain it is I want you guys doing more thinking about why you plan the foods you do, what your reasons are, and really knowing the purpose behind them. Like, sometimes people, when they first start, I don't mind you guys. I don't really care what you plan for your food, but I want you to understand why you plan it. So a lot of times people will come in and they'll first, you know, they're so afraid that the foods that they use for comfort are going to be taken away that they keep all of them in their plan. And while they get good at committing to it and doing all that kind of stuff, they're not really examining why they keep them. So if you ask yourself, like, why do I need pizza every night? Why do I need ice cream every night? Just answer those questions at first, and you'll probably stumble upon, sometimes it will be like, well, it tastes good, it's easy, it's convenient. And then some, every now and then you'll find, it makes me feel better. It makes me feel like I'm getting what I want. Those are the kind of thoughts we want to start digging into, which starts next week. So that's what happens in module two. First week is just about getting really good at planning, really good at putting stuff down, doing what you'll say you'll do, eating it only when you're hungry, stopping when you've had enough. Like, that's plenty of work in the beginning. Then we start transitioning to looking at those foods and understanding the reasons why we put them in our plans to begin with. You know, like, if you're eating pizza every night because you don't want to feel left out, we need to work on, like, oh, so you're using food as a way to feel included in life, rather than the way to feel included is with how you think. Am I including my dreams too with my life? Or am I just so worried about what they'll think that I'm going to eat food that, like, if I didn't give a shit what anybody, if everybody said, oh my gosh, I would love you so much more if you were eating salad. Let me just tell you, we would have more fun at dinner if I saw you eating a salad. Like, if everybody said that, would you change? Would it be different? If so, why? Like, that's the stuff we're going to start really getting into next week. Should I slow down? I'm on module three. You don't have to slow down, guys. Y'all get to go the pace you want to go. We're the way that we're just have designed things. I don't know why it's so dark in here today. Let me turn that on. The way that we've designed things is the Nobius itself is self-paced. But we have live calls like this. So in order for the live calls to make sense, what we like to do is we like to theme them so that when you go back and you listen, let's say that like you really don't get the four basics, but like you totally understand overeating, just for example. Then when you go to look for calls, you can look for calls on the four basics. You can look for calls around module one, but you wouldn't necessarily need to hear a bunch of overeating shit. So like, you don't have to look for those calls. So we theme all the calls to do that. Also, like, first, if you, let's say you're doing the No BS and you really want to work on the worksheets, it's a lot easier to find the call you need to listen to when it's called No BS Module 1 Worksheets versus, like, we just talk about it all the time. And then, you know, it just makes it harder for you guys to find topical things. That's why we group things together. So this next 2 weeks, we're going to be doing this for two solid weeks, guys. We're going to be going through module two. I want to spend extra time on your thinking because a lot of you are, you know, finding that first week, and some of you are in that second week because you did the challenge. You're now starting to find all the things that are making it hard to stop eating. You're finding all the things that are making it hard to wait for hunger. You're finding all the, like, you're finding, like, oh, like, makes sense to write my food down every day. Seems I'm not eating that food, though. All of that is starting to happen, and that's what we want. We want for, basically, we need to illuminate all that stuff, because the only thing that's confusing you or stopping you or feeling hard or all that kind of stuff comes from your thinking. There's thinking that affects all of that. And when we start unwinding why that works the way it does, the thinking behind all of it, you start being able to knock them out one at a time. You start understanding that you're like, maybe you are planning the pizza every night because you don't like feeling left out. Maybe you are planning the pizza every night because you're like, I don't want to sit at night and be uncomfortable. I'm used to eating pizza. So we want to, like, why would we not want to be uncomfortable? What is so wrong about being uncomfortable in your mind? That's when we start really understanding why we're eating against our own, like, dreams and goals. And so we want to make sure that you're not thinking against all that stuff, okay? I have trigger foods as a recovering binge eater. Should I portion those trigger foods if I want to add them? I'm also afraid to eat these foods because the habit loop is to keep going and fuck it all. Zoe, you can portion them for sure. And this is how I like to describe trigger foods. I describe trigger foods as these are the foods that my habit brain is going to kick up its thoughts faster than I'm going to be able to keep up with it. And so what we want to do is we don't want to get rid of all those foods. What we really would rather do is start learning how to slow your brain down and understand what you're thinking and stuff. So sometimes portioning those foods, it allows you to, like, let's say it's cookies and you portion your cookies and you go get a bag of cookies that you're going to eat and you've planned them. It's going to trigger your brain anyway to want to eat more. But with that portion, it also allows you to say, like, okay, I knew my habit brain was going to ask for more. I really can anticipate that all of this stuff's going to happen. And the reason why that I've portioned it is so that when that part starts, I have time to let my reasoning brain, this is all in module 2, guys, my reasoning brain to come in and calm my habit brain down and say, like, it's okay. We totally expected that this was going to happen. The worst that's going to happen is we're going to feel uncomfortable. I'm sure you're going to ask for it 1,000 times tonight. But that gives you pause. That gives you like this moment to allow the reasoning brain and the habit brain to have some really good productive dialogue. What I don't want is for you to come in with your reasoning brain and be like, you shouldn't be asking for this. And I hate that you're here. And I wish you would just go away. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to learn in module 2. We have to be willing to let the habit brain have it say so. It's like a small child. It doesn't know any better. It only knows one way to talk. And if you come in and you just yell at the kid all the time, it gets more and more scared. The problem is that the habit brain, the more scared it gets, the more anxiety, cortisol, adrenaline, all of the things that make you eat, it spikes all of it. And eventually it will win. That's why we don't yell at our habit brain, okay? Hey, do me a favor. Whoever is my moderator, please just give me module 1 questions. I'm getting a lot of like extra questions in here. So just let's just stick to module 1 questions because I'm not going to be able to read ahead of them. I have chronic migraines and I need to eat food with my pain medication if I get a headache, which with the smoke in California is almost every evening. I'm finding myself planning for pain and planning for eating when I'm not hungry. Yeah, but I think this is different. This is where I would rather you make a conscious plan. Like if you've got the smoke in California and you get migraines and you need to take migraine medication, you need to plan some food. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to plan delicious food. Don't make it entertaining. Don't like, well, say, well, because I've got headaches and I needed to eat some food, let me have something I like really like. Like, this isn't a good time to be having cheese and crackers. And not that cheese and crackers are bad, but think about it. Like, if all you need is some food to take your medication, what better time to practice eating some carrot sticks with it or some broccoli? Is it going to be hellacious fun? No, but this isn't, like, this is not fun eating. This is to get down medicine eating. So I would plan something not, like indulgent, to where you really look forward to it and all this stuff. Otherwise, what happens is your brain just gets used to eating during that time right now. And if it's something that you're not exactly thrilled about, but you just got to eat it to take your medicine, it will be very easy to stop that eating. Super simple. I've lost 40 pounds so far, realizing it's time to adjust my hunger to continue momentum. Feeling sad and restricted about this. Do you have any lighter thought suggestions? Yeah, it's time to adjust because I'm a fucking badass who's lost 40 pounds versus it's time to adjust. Man, I hate giving up food. You're not giving up food. This is the thing. Like, and you're not even restricted. Now you're overeating. Like, if you want to lose weight, you're not restricting at all. Your body is saying, I don't need that much. Thanks. And you're like, fuck you. I like food. What are you talking about? Like, that's the conversation you're having. Instead of like, you're right. We've lost 40 pounds. We have done so good. A little less. So far, eating a little less has only seemed to be great. I keep losing weight. I can do it. It seems super manageable. I've been doing it just fine. Probably the next adjustment's not going to be near as dramatic as I'm making it. Start a small adjustment. Guys, this is why, like, all the way through weight loss, you got to be learning shit. You know what you got to do all the way through weight loss? Sometimes you got to uncover, I'm still attached to food. As you go down, you get invited to keep removing the attachments emotionally to the food. And you get to enjoy food in a way that lets you enjoy everything else in your life too. And this is the part where you're like, okay, I keep thinking I'm being restricted rather than thinking, look how fucking caring I am for myself. I am noticing that to keep on being a success, all I need to do is eat a little less. Like, talk to yourself in the ways, guys, that are going to motivate you, not demotivate you. Because reducing the food is not what makes you upset. Reducing food is it's very boring until you have a thought like, this sucks. It's your thinking around it rather than like, you know, when you're going to reduce food, rather than thinking, of course I am, because I'm a badass who's lost 40 pounds. It's probably not going to be near as bad as I think it will be. All right. I want to stop the habit of snacking at night. I'm only having a small bowl of chips, but I want to change it to something healthier. I'm typically hungry around 8 p.m. for something small. Then just change it. I don't know what you want my help with. It sounds, Nancy, like you know exactly what you want to do, exactly why you want to do it, and now it's just time to do it. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to plan something else, and you're going to want chips because you've been having chips. Plan to want chips, but eat this anyway. I ain't got no more magic for y'all on that one. Y'all got to plan for the want and not be like, okay, here's what I need to do. I need to figure out how not to want things because that feels really bad. Wanting something doesn't feel really bad. It's your thoughts about the want. Let me tell you how I know wanting something doesn't feel bad. How many of you have really wanted like a purse or a piece of jewelry or a date night or something special for Christmas? And nobody was like, okay, I really want all these things, but you teach me how not to want these things. Like, we want things all the time. It's just sometimes what happens is we have judgments about our wants. I don't want to go through wanting. Like, what is the worst part of wanting? The thoughts. That is the worst part. So, like, if you're going to have, like, go from chips to carrots at night. Let's say you're going to have chips every night, and then you're like, nope, tonight, by God, I'm going to eat some carrots because it's football Saturday, and I know Corinne's a UT fan, and I'm going to eat me some orange carrots in her honor. All right, so say you're doing that. You come up into the evening, and you want chips. You're like, screw her and UT. I don't give a shit about the balls. I don't even live in Tennessee. Why do I even plan this? You plan for wanting it. And guess what you do? You plan for a conversation. Of course I want it. I've been eating chips. And they are tasty. But I'm choosing this for this reason. I'm willing to be patient with myself through this. Like, that kind of conversation is very different than what we normally do, which is like bitch, moan, and cry, and whine. Like, if I really wanted, like, y'all know me, I'm a big Michael Kors fan. If I really wanted a Michael Kors purse, I wouldn't yell at myself every time I wanted a Michael Kors purse. I would probably, like, enjoy wanting it. And been telling myself, but you can't afford one right now. And that's okay. So if you wouldn't freak out about it there, don't freak out about it over here. All that's different is the freak out and the conversation. I'm driving everybody crazy with my football talk. When writing out my goals, should I write them out as if it happened, being specific, or does it matter? For example, lose 5 pounds or I weigh 155 pounds. I don't think it whatever one sounds better to you, honestly. There's research on both sides. Like, one is like, get granular, get specific. Another side is like, talk about it as if it's already happened. When I write mine down, I'm usually just like, let's say I've got this one goal right now that has a percentage tied to it. And it says, y'all won't even understand this term, so I won't worry about it. It's called evergreen, but it's like, you know, evergreen funnel converting at 11.45%. Like, so I write it like, you know, it, what it's going to be doing. So if it feels better to do it that way, do it that way. If it feels better to say I lose 5 pounds this week, or I am going to lose five, whatever sounds better to you, just write it down. For me, the most important part of it, especially in the beginning of goal setting, is that you're actually writing them down. I don't know why I said 5 pounds this week, 5 pounds a month. Y'all don't pay attention to me. it's been a week. I'm just going to tell you right now, it has been a week. We have had tech issues, just all the things. And Corinne is a customer service. If there's a perfectionism bone in this body, it's only on that. And when it's not 100%, there's a lot of mind management that's going on. Renee, my niece, is at UT, by the way. All right, so just write it however. But the main thing is in the beginning, I just want you writing it every single day so that you know what they are. And if I asked you, if I said, hey, like, Rhonda, tell me your goal and why it's so important to you, that if I ran into you on the street, you could tell me. And I swear, y'all, I think when we start having events again, every single person that tries to come up and talk to me, I'm going to be like, oh, hey, yes. Tell me your goal and why it's important to you. That's the kind of shit I want to know. Most of the time, you know what you guys come up and tell me? How long you've been listening to me. Your favorite podcast. Like, that's awesome. I love that you guys want to tell me that shit, but I already know about me. I'm way more interested in about you. So if we ever get to meet at an event in person, like, I swear to God, those of you who will come up to me and say like, oh my gosh, my name is Rhonda, do you know what my goal is? It's this, and here's why it's important to me. I would be way more thrilled with that conversation. I don't need to hear about my own podcast anymore, but I love hearing about you guys. So the way to be able to do that is literally every single day to be writing down your goals in your planner. And I ask you every single day, why is it important? I do that planner myself. And I answer that question every day myself. I did my weigh-in on Friday. Is that when I do my weekly assessment, start a new weekly sheet? Yep. I set Sunday as my planning day for the week. Need to schedule. What's best? I would just do the assessment on Fridays. We do the weigh-in assessment on that day. You can plan whenever you want, but the weekly assessment is done when you weigh in. We all weigh in on Friday, but if you want to pick a different day, it's fine with me. I don't really care when. Hang on, I got to sneeze. Ugh, I could feel that one coming. We've been having a lot of painting, and we're moving my office. This is going to become the filming studio. So we have got the dust and the paint fumes in this house for days. I joined in March, and I'm finally motivated to stick with it. Good, Chrissy. I am headed to repeat module one this morning. Would you recommend we would be in module one for a certain time before going to module two? Nope. Guys, I have no recommendations for how long any of it should take. You know why? It's self-paced. I really want you guys going at the rate you want to go. Here's what some people do. Some people join, they literally take the entire course in a matter of 2 days. They like take time off from work and they're like, I'm on it. I'm going to listen to everything. And they listen to everything and they go to school for 2 days and they do all the worksheets. And then they go back and listen to things over and over again along with us and stuff. That's one way. Some people listen to just a few lessons each week and they take the program and they stretch it out to fit their needs. And then they do the worksheets. Go as fast as you're willing to do the worksheets that are included. That is probably the best piece of advice, is rather than just listening and not doing the worksheets, I'd much rather you do the lessons at a pace that where it's like, okay, I did this lesson. And not all lessons have worksheets. So if you're listening to this and you haven't even been in there yet, I don't know why you have not been in there. Please go take your no BS right now. Get off this fucking Facebook Live and push stop if you're listening to the replay. But go and do the lessons. Not every one of them even has a worksheet, but some of them do. We only put in worksheets on the lessons that we think we have a worksheet that will help solidify that knowledge. My husband is a stay-at-home parent and cooks. He often doesn't know what he'll make for dinner until midday. Is it okay if I'm generic in my plans, such as meat and veggies with oil, and swap it out for something like chicken chili if that's what he makes? I know I can still just eat until satisfied and always try to keep to best foods. Maybe I'm engaging in overwhelm. You are, Melanie. That's total overwhelm unnecessarily right there. I would just write in what the hubby cooks, and I damn sure know how to eat. Especially, it sounds like your husband actually makes pretty, really good food. It's not like he's like every night going, hey, I'm like ordering from the Mexican restaurant. You want like cheesy stuffed burritos? Like, I mean, that's, that I would say like, let's really examine things. But if your husband pretty much is like cooking from the best category, I would just put down whatever hubby cooks. He's an amazing cook. How lucky am I? And by God, I know how to eat when I'm hungry and stop when I'm satisfied. I would write it down every single day. And I would write it down in such a lush way that it seems like, oh my gosh, this is what's going to help me lose weight. Do you have a suggestion on how to get more sleep? I struggle with insomnia and getting enough sleep. Luann, I take a product called Sleep Remedy. So let me tell you all my sleep tactics. I'll give it to the down and dirty, you guys. Oh my gosh, this clip is late. Grabbing at my head today. Number one thing, we have blackout curtains. That has helped me a lot because I'm not a great sleeper. I'm now a good sleeper, but it really took some training. So number one is blackout curtains. Number two, I have something called, and we'll put this in the store, in the Faves store. If you don't know, it's at pmp411.com/faves. This is not in there yet. Guys, it's really expensive. It's not cheap. I have the king size version because the king also gets super hot in the middle of the night. But we have a chili pad that we sleep with. It's on the bed. Like I said, it was an investment, but I gotta sleep. It has like water, and what it does is it cools the mattress underneath you. And it also, you can make it hot. So if you get cold, you can turn the temperature up. It's got a remote. So we have a chili pad that helps with that. I also take Sleep Remedy. That is in my Faves store. It has melatonin, tryptophan, and something else in it, and magnesium. I take 3 of those every single night. That helps me get a little drowsy, but it keeps me asleep through the night. Not everybody has success with it, but a lot of us do. So I take that every night. So does my husband. We've been taking it for 2 or 3 years now. It's not cheap either, but I can't go without my sleep. I mean, we have severely invested in sleep. The other thing that we do is we limit some of our screen time before we go to bed. I try to be off of any kind of screens an hour before I go to sleep. What else do I do? That's probably the biggest things. I give up the caffeine. I used to be somebody that could drink caffeine up until 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. All my caffeine ends before 10 o'clock. Every now and then I'll have like one little bit of caffeine after 10, but I have found that if I do that, I'm not sleeping well at night. So I have given up caffeine. Also, my evening meal almost always doesn't have it. Sometimes I'll have fruit, but it typically has more fats and proteins and vegetables and like cheese and things like that. I don't do a lot of carbs at night. Not because I don't like carbs. Trust me, I love them. I had some for breakfast this morning. They're all the rage. But I have found, I have this thing called an Oura Ring, O-U-R-A. It tracks your sleep and it shows you your sleep stages and stuff. And I've had it now for about 6 months. And I have noticed that on the nights when I eat carbs with dinner, that my resting heart rate takes longer to come down. And if your resting heart rate takes longer to come down at night, guess what else happens? Your recovery the next day is not as good. And if you're like me and you tend to like, you know, still got a job you got to do, still got a family you got to take care of and all this other stuff, you just slowly get behind the eight ball. So I have really watched, just like as I track my food and stuff, I can tell what things I can have and how late I can eat them and what will jack my sleep up. Another one is alcohol. So we typically, if we're going to be drinking and stuff, because y'all know me, I like my wine. If we're going to be drinking, most of the time we knock off early at work. We go at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and we're home by 5:30. So that I have plenty of time to wind down. Like I can drink 2 or 3 glasses of wine. And if I don't have plenty of time to wind down, then by the time I go to sleep, my resting heart rate can't come down enough. So those are just some of the things. We also have a weighted blanket. Chris and I sleep with weighted blankets. That's helped. So just try things. That's the best thing I can tell you. I will include some of the things that I have. I just haven't updated that store. I'll put all the links to all that stuff. I'll get it to our web team and get some of that stuff added so you guys can see the exact things I use. I'm struggling with what satisfied feels like. I'm good and knowing hungry. I'm good at knowing I'm hungry, but used to the busted stuffed feeling. So I've made smaller portions and I don't think I'm eating past satisfied. I'm about 25 pounds away from goal. So I know I'm going to have to level up and really get this right. Why is it so damn difficult for me? I don't really understand what your struggle is, Stacy. I think you have a lot of struggles. I think you have a lot of judgment on the process, which makes it feel hard. Like you're talking about it is like, we have problems. Corinne, I'm just hitting the alarm. I'm just telling you right now that I got 25 pounds until I reach my goal weight and everything's a shit show. That's kind of the energy that we have got here. Here's how I would be doing it. I don't really know what satisfied feels like, so I have a really good strategy I'm going to try. The first thing I'm going to do is I am going to make sure I use a smaller plate, and I'm going to test that out for a couple of weeks, and I'll know if that's enough or if I need to try something else. I'm so good at waiting for my hunger. Yay me. That's probably why I only have 25 pounds left to get to my goal. This I'm going to have to level up to get this right. Well, that's a busted ass thought. No, you don't have to do anything to get this right. You know what you could be thinking? There are so many things I can try, and I bet what works will be one of them. Like, you're talking about this like it's a panic moment. Calm the fuck down. All you're trying to do is eat a little less at meals. That's it. But your story is so inflamed, and it's probably inflamed because why is it so difficult for you? Well, one, the story, but why do you need the 25 pounds to be off to begin with? Whatever you think's going to be going on down there when you lose your 25 pounds has this version of you panicking to figure everything out so you can get there faster. It's like, we're all such a shit show. If we can just get the 25 pounds off, we won't be that anymore. You're not going to get there as a shit show. Guess what you got to do? Figure out what the hell you're going to be thinking and feeling about yourself at 25 pounds less. Figure out how you can think that now. Like, well, I'm going to think I'm in control of food. Well, you're in control of figuring this out. So why are you not telling yourself that? Well, I'm going to be really proud of myself when I lose 25 pounds. Like, yeah, okay. You got ample opportunity to be proud of yourself right now. I'm trying new things, making better choices. I don't care if you guys have 200 pounds to lose or 2 pounds to lose. Whatever the fuck you think is going to be happening down there at Thin U, you better be able to start thinking some of that shit now. Figure out, like, a lot of you will think I'm going to be happy and I'm going to be proud when I lose all my weight. Okay, What are the things that you can be proud of now? I joined. I'm listening to videos. Oh my God. I'm willing to make a plan on the days I don't want to. You get to think proud things now, but you're so drowning it out as if, no, the only way that I am entitled to like myself, the only way I'm entitled to believe in myself, the only way I'm entitled to feel proud, the only way I'm entitled to any of it is when I fix my body. I am reading a book that I think all of you should read. Like, I'm always reading books, but there's been a couple of pivotal books this year. This is going to be the one. It is called The Body is Not an Apology. You should all read it. Every one of you. It is so good. And I know we're losing weight in here. I get that. I want to strike the balance between you guys losing weight and like doing it to learn how to love yourself in amazing new ways. Not, I don't want to just teach you weight loss like that's going to fix your shit. It's not. You do not need to apologize for your body ever again to yourself or anyone else. We got to learn like right now how to love ourselves. And if that means when we love ourselves that we end up losing weight, that's great. And if it doesn't, well, then we at least get to love ourselves. But we have to, like, I'm working so hard on striking the balance of teaching you how do you do all of this from love and not from hate. Not to fit in. Most of you don't even know why you want the body you want. You don't even understand why you want it so bad. I can't speak to all of that today. I am working on all this for you guys. For those of you who come into camp next weekend, we're going to spend a lot of time on all this shit. But in the coming months, like, I just feel like somebody has to, I just don't think weight loss is bad. I think that there's, like, we're in such a place in the world right now where everything is, it's either this or it's that. It's like, I'm either losing weight or I'm, like, proud of my body and I'm not allowed to lose weight. It's like, there's middle ground. I know there's middle ground. I was able to do it without hating myself. And I'm able now to look at like my past self and not be disgusted by her. Like finding all of this is something no one's really teaching. I can't really find any place where I can go and hear someone speak on body love and body acceptance and all the things while also like I want to lose weight too. And not because I'm broken. So anyway, I just like, it's such a great book. And somebody please post, and I have not listened to the podcast Brené Brown did with the book. I've been listening to the book itself. Somebody post it in here in this video because it's so good. So Brené Brown's latest, I think it's her latest podcast or maybe it was a little while ago. I'm not really sure. But it's with the author of The Body is Not an Apology. And I think the lady is from Knoxville. And she talks about being in Knoxville, which it's UT day. Let's not forget. I'm having trouble finding my satisfied point. When I stop eating at what I think is satisfied, I'm hungry like 1 to 2 hours later. I don't do the sigh or a lot of common cues on the cheat sheet. Is there a method I can go through to dial in my exact cues? Yeah, eat a little more food and see what that feels like. And note those. Here's the easiest way to do it. I notice I'm hungry 1 to 2 hours later. I would like to be hungry 3 to 4 hours later. Let me eat a little more food. Notice what those cues are. See what happens. And that might be my satisfied cues. That's the easiest way to do it. I'm having such a horrific time with consuming water. I got a special bottle with a motivational statement. I get so full and I definitely not hungry and feel all and fear the time will pass. Miss a meal. You know, God forbid we miss a meal and become hungry and don't want to eat off plan. I've struggled with this. Right, you got to drink water. What is the, like, the real thing, Maria, is what is, like, you fear missing a meal. Why? Why is that something to be feared? What is the worst thing that happens to Maria if she's not hungry? The way she thinks about it. She thinks that if she misses a meal, she's going to be going to eat off plan. What if you can miss a meal and be telling yourself, you know what? I bet if I miss a meal, that just means I didn't need to eat. And when I'm ready to eat, I'm going to learn how to eat what's on my plan. Think about it that way rather than like, this is for sure the things that are going to happen. That's not the for sure things that are going to happen. You're predicting the future in a shitty way for Maria. If you're going to go, guys, if all of you, if you're going to go out and predict the future for yourself, will you please predict a good one? So start telling yourself, you know, rather than being afraid if I miss a meal that I'll eat off plan, what if I just miss a meal and see what happens? Be curious what's going to happen. I know I'll have a planned meal that I can like look at. Maybe all the times in the past when I missed meals, I didn't have good plans. Or maybe all the times in the past when I missed a meal, I didn't allow myself to think about being on plan. I just got focused on how I hated missing a meal and how I was so afraid of being hungry that I would set myself up for eating. That's what to think about, okay? How do you plan for a meal when you don't know what's going to be being served? It is out of your control. It's not out, like, guys, think about how you word this. Michelle, this is not a fact. It's out of my control what they're serving me. That's a thought. Everybody, brains explode right now. I almost can see the collective like, that's not true. Let me tell you how it's true. It's out of my control what they're going to serve me, or I know exactly what to do no matter what they serve me. Boom! That's called a thought. That's how we know. I just told you the exact same fucking shit in two different sentences. One of which you feel empowered. The other one you feel like an asshat. We gotta watch how we describe stuff. So, let me ask you, do you even need to ask the question now? How do I plan? If I know that no matter what somebody's gonna serve me, I know how to eat and make choices, do I need to know how to plan? Or is that my plan? There we go. You're never, ever out of control with food. You're always, I don't care if you go face down in a sheet cake and come up and you're like a baby on its first birthday. You weren't out of control. At some point, you decided to do it. Thinking you're out of control and be like, but it feels so out of control. It only feels out of control because of the way you're describing it and the way you're allowing yourself to think. This is why we cannot afford to tell ourselves any longer. I don't care how real it feels. You have to say, like, it feels so real that I'm out of control. But the real truth is, brain, I'm always the one deciding to keep eating. And that, because, and this is important. If you keep telling yourself you're out of control, you will always be able to easily find an excuse or justification to blow it. If you always tell yourself that you are in control, there may be times you choose to eat something that you wish you hadn't, but you are always the one who can fix things. There's no excuse or justification left anymore. It's just responsibility. That's why most of you don't want to admit that. Because at the end of the day, it's like, oh, so every overeat is really just me. For some of you, you're not used to taking responsibility for yourself and your life. It's very hard. It means you own the mistakes. You own your thinking. We're going to learn to take the responsibility for everything in here. Everything. Because when you build the relationship with yourself that you can take responsibility for all of it, it means that in those moments when it doesn't go the way you wanted it to, just like I have been taking a lot of responsibility this week for a lot of things that it would be easy to blame other people on. But at the end of the day, I want solutions. And if I ran this business blaming it on my employees, vendors, whoever, my husband, time, whatever. Guess what doesn't happen? All I'm doing is becoming a really good excuse and justifications generator. I'm always looking outside of me for somebody to please fix things so I can feel better. That's the long way to get to where I want to go. And most of the time, those roads are a dead end. The fastest way to get there is to be like, this is my fault and this is why. And that's okay. I don't need to be perfect. I need to be figuring shit out. When you don't beat yourself up over it, when you are able to take responsibility and know that you'll never beat yourself up, it's so much easier to get to the things that are going to work for you. So much easier and faster. I'm a bit worried not to plan a snack. Well, then just plan one. I only eat the apple I plan once a week, but having it there makes me feel calm. This is so good. I can always have an apple. Do I need to push past this? Tabitha, here's what I want you to do. I want you to remember that having the apple on the plan isn't what's calming you down. It's your thought that's calming you down. So what I want you to do is I want you to figure out what are you going to think if you don't have an apple on your plan? Whatever that thought is what you want to work on. It's not, do I just keep the apple so I can quit, so I don't ever have to be triggered to think this. That's not going to work long term. Because that thought is laying there in the bushes waiting to come out in some form. It'll find its way around. So ask yourself, if I took that apple off the plan, what would I be thinking that wouldn't be calming? And then whatever that is like, okay, do I want to be thinking that way around food? If not, what could I be thinking? Then you start looking at it that way, and then you start taking the apple off. And that's where you start gaining some traction on building like that controllable, healthy relationship with food. I'm having a hard time planning on weekends because my husband is home and typically cooks. That's not why you're having a hard time planning. It's because you think he's a problem. Rather than, there must be a solution to this. You wouldn't be having trouble. Having trouble is a result of you thinking my husband being at home and cooking is a problem in our relationship, is a problem in my weight loss, rather than this is just something to solve. I bet there's something I can do to make this work for me. You wouldn't be having any trouble if you were doing that. You know what you'd be having? Ideas, not trouble. Yeah, you should plan the weekend. You should totally plan the weekend with your husband there. You should be thinking about, how is this not a problem? How can I make this work for me? And allow yourself to come up with a bajillion ideas and then start trying some. Do you suggest working out every day along with the small changes? I hear yes and no with the workout theory, especially at the beginning of weight loss. If you've been working out, continue. If you've not been working out, only start if it's because you actually are like, that excites me. I've always wanted to work out. That was me in the beginning. I was way excited about like trying to exercise. I was like so enamored with Chris's brother. He was a triathlete and I was like 250 plus pounds. And my brother had always been an athlete and there was always, and I'd never played any sports. I'd never done anything. But there was something in me that was just fascinated by physical movement. And so when I decided to change my life, and I was like, I'm going to figure this out. I thought, you know what? I really want to start moving my body. Like that was the first doable thing for me because it was tantalizing. It was enticing. I didn't work out because I thought I needed to lose weight. And that's where I want you to watch. So Tracy, if you think, well, I should work out because that's what's going to help me lose weight. No. That is the worst thought ever. The only thing that helps us lose weight is getting control over our hand to our mouth. That's the only thing that really controls weight loss. I know plenty of people who exercise like demons and carry 70 extra pounds. Exercise is not the antidote to weight loss. It's just not. So it's a better, more useful thought to think, I'm only going to layer in movement because it seems like something that would be fun. It seems like something that I could get behind. that's when I have you layer in movement. Because if you're doing it from that perspective, you're more likely to look for things you love. You're not going to build a bastardized relationship with it. All those things. My goal was to lose 1.5 pounds this week, and I gained 0.2. So on my assessment, should I stay with 1.5 or make my goal 3? I would just do 1.5. I wouldn't be like, well, this is what I don't like about like bumping it to 3 in order to stay on track for my 60-day goal. The 60-day goal is not near as important as you figuring out what was the 0.2 about. Like being able to look all of it. Was this hormonal? Was this, you know, some eating? What did I learn from this week? That is the major part of the process. Like the goal, all it, like, I don't, like, guys, what you do at the end of 60 days is irrelevant compared to what you learn across the 60 days. So just keep your goal the same. This week, have the same 1.5. We don't have to make up ground because we're worried about that. What we want to do is like, oh, I just really want to know what the 0.2 could be about. So that this week, I can make better decisions, or I can make different decisions, whatever it is. If it was hormonal and you did, like, I followed my plan, I did all these things. I was reading some of the stuff today. So some people lose right out the gate and some people don't. So for all of you who actually did the work this week, like, you're like, I didn't overeat, I did what you said, blah, blah, and either didn't gain or I didn't lose, or like, I got my period and I'm up 0.2, those kinds of things. For all of you who did that, the important part is for you to examine the 0.2 and then to ask yourself, like, honestly, with like reflection about the week, and then decide, do I just need to keep doing the same things this week? Because if it was probably hormonal and it was probably this, and I like what I did and I set up, let me try that again one more week to make sure that I'm like, my body just isn't going to drop the weight at 10 days versus 7. There's no magic in 7, guys. I know a lot of you think that you're supposed to lose weight every single week. You're not. Some week, you know what the body does a lot? Sometimes it loses weight in 3 days. And then it'll take 14 to lose the next one. And then sometimes it's 7. And then guess what? It takes 11 days the next time. Your body is not sitting around on a 7-day cycle based upon your eating and your 24-hour plan. That's not how it works. Your body is complex. You can't be sitting there trying to micromanage it and tell it what to do. All you can do is give it the best environment to go ham and do what it needs to do for you. But your job to give it the best environment possible. Celia, so many thought gems in this call. I drop them all the time. I'm like one of those, what was that game that I used to play on my phone all the time? Bejeweled. That's me. I'm Bejeweled. So there's lots more questions, but they seem to be module 2 questions. So we'll answer a lot of that stuff next week. So here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to make sure that you take, that you go through module 2 this week and next week. Let me give you a heads up and I'm going to answer one more question. Nicole, I'm going to get to you and then we're going to call it for the day. Module 2 is extremely important. In my mind, if there's any module in No BS that's the most important, it's module 2. Module 2 is what helps you feel better. It's what helps explain a lot of the reasons why we eat. It's what helps you identify, like, all right, the 4 basics, Corinne, they're so easy. But if they're so easy, why am I not doing them? The why you're not doing them gets unearthed and solved with Module 2. Module 1 just tells you what to do. But it also lays the groundwork of, if you're not doing these things, now we know it's the thinking. That's all that's standing in your way is sentences that are in your brain. And they're not going to be Frankenstein, and they're not going to be scary, and they're not going to be like, I'm in the gutter and all this other stuff. That is not what this is about. Most thoughts are the littlest ones. Like I've been telling you all through the call, I've already been seeding, thinking about things differently. Like when we say, how do I plan when I have no control over what people will serve? That thought leads to feeling out of control, helplessness, confusion. When someone like me thinks, I know exactly what to do and how to eat no matter what someone serves me. I have the 4 basics. Guess how I feel? Confident, assured. I fucking don't feel panicked and dramatic. The thinking is the key to everything. So we spend 2 weeks on it because it's that important. And what I want you guys to do is not only go through module 2 once, but I want you to run it over and over and over again. As many times as you can listen to module 2. It will make everything in your, it won't just make your weight loss life easier. It will make your life easier. You will see that this works with everything. So here's Nicole's question. I just started the program and I'm getting better at realizing what my hunger cues are, but I'm struggling with satisfied. The way you just put this when answering someone else made me think, does satisfied mean that I'm not hungry for the next 3 to 4 hours? It could mean that. For me, a lot of times I can eat and be not need to eat for like 6 hours. Sometimes it's just 3. My body just lets me know. Is that a measure I can use to decide whether or not I hit the mark? I like for you guys to think about trying to get to where you're, when you eat enough that you don't need to eat for 3 or 4 more hours. I would like for all of you to be spending less time thinking about food all the time. So if your body can go that long, what it does is it, I think, this is just me personally, that when you can eat enough to not need to eat, but at least up to 3 to 4 hours, you start noticing when you just want to eat. And it puts like gas on the fire of figuring out any emotional eating that you're doing. But if you set yourself up to need to eat every 2 hours, you don't really know if you're, I just see a lot more people who eat every 2 to 3 hours. They're not always eating because they're hungry. They're just setting their life up to be able to have a break from life every 2 to 3 hours to sit and eat and get relief. And I don't want to teach you guys that. I would rather you not have that relief with food so you can figure out why you are so stressed out about your life, and let's go to work on how you think about your life. That's where your change is going to come in. And then there was one other question somebody posted just a second ago. Let me see if I can find it. I just happened to see it. Angela, I spent $3,000 on a health coach for a 12-week program. It just ended last Sunday. I gained 2 pounds on the program, even though I started working out for the first time, really consistent, and made healthy swaps. She keeps giving me suggestions, more movement, less snacks, that I feel like I should follow to justify that money spent. Hey, that money is sunk. It's called sunk cost. You've already gotten your money's worth out of it. You got the 12-week program. You figured out what's going to work and what's not going to work. Like, you losing weight is not what you, that was not the exchange. The exchange was to figure out if this was going to work for you. I'm just exhausted with information and what to do at this point. Should I stop movement until we layer in here? We don't layer movement in here. I'm never going to tell you to exercise. Now, there are people who do exercise. We have like a turkey trot. Guys, if you want to sign up for a little turkey trot where you can get a medal and a hat, where all we're doing the week of Thanksgiving is, during the week of Thanksgiving, you got to do 60 minutes of exercise. Once you do your 60 minutes of exercise, you get to take a selfie of you in your No BS Woman hat and your medal. We do that, but only because a lot of people want to have fun that week and they would like a medal. But I'm never going to be like, all right, this is the week we all start exercising. This is when we all start talking about exercise. I don't do that. You know why? Hand to mouth, hand to mouth, hand to mouth. The better you get at that, the better off you'll be. Like, it sounds to me like what you learned during this program was that you don't want a stressful weight loss program. You don't want one with lots of expectations and stuff. You know what else you probably learned? You don't want someone telling you what to do with your body. You want to figure it out. Because here's the thing. If you really wanted someone to tell you what to do with your body, you'd go, oh, I'll just do everything she tells me, no matter what. If she says exercise 10 hours a day, I'm on. You're still getting value out of her program by learning those lessons. So here's what I would do. If you're so exhausted, I would just do what I tell you in this one. You're here now. Quit thinking about that one. You didn't waste your money. You didn't throw it away. You didn't do anything. You set yourself up to know what you do and do not want for this one. So you're here. What's the harm in going all in on it? And getting excited about this rather than sitting around thinking about how that didn't work. That is exhausting. That feels like shit. That That's not anything you ever need to think about ever again the moment you don't want to think about it. But that's going to be your choice, Angela. And when your brain wants to go to it, just say like, no, you know what we are? A fucking no BS woman now. I don't know why I'm thinking about that shit, because I'm too busy with my shit over here. That's what I'd be doing. All right, so let me tell you a couple other things. Exciting things. Module 2, next 2 weeks, right? Everybody's going to do it. This next weekend, we're going to have staff manning all of you. All right, we have over 2,000 members who will be at our 3-day self-love event. It's a virtual event. It's, trust me, I've got people in my garage right now. They are staging that. I think there's 10 or 12 computers. There's all kinds of things happening now. So anyway, for all of you who will not be there, we have fabulous Heidi, fabulous Dina, who will be taking care of the community. The coaches will be answering as coaches too while we're at camp. So they, the poor coaches, I told them, I said, y'all know, like when you get up in the morning, don't be dicking around. You got to get all them ass coaches done before we get the day started when you're going to be moderating all them rooms. They're like, no, they love you guys. But we work around the clock when we do events. So you all will have plenty of help the whole time. You probably won't miss us at all, to be honest. Then we will also have, my mother will be in the support desk all weekend long taking care of everyone. So if you have any kind of issues with your tech or anything like that, the web team will be where they're at. My mom will be answering all that stuff. Dana and Heidi will be in the Facebook groups, and the coaches will be cleaning out Ask Coaches every day. We have calls this week, but we don't have calls next weekend. So when we have an event, we don't do calls on those weekends. So let me tell you what the schedule is for this week so y'all know all the things. Tomorrow at noon Central Time, Sunday, September 27th, which y'all, that would have been my papa's birthday. He was a huge UT fan too. He was the only other UT fan in the family. Zoom office hours with me. This is open coaching where anybody can ask a question. Then on Monday at 5 p.m., the No BS Module 2 Worksheets call with Judith will be going down. That's going to be on Zoom. On Tuesday, Judith will be doing the 5 p.m. Central Time office hours for coaches. So there's 2 hours of office hours. You just come, you can raise your hand and get coached on anything you want. On Wednesday, I will be doing the 12:30 from the hotel. No BS Module 2 Unlocking Your Diet Brain Zoom call where you will get coaching on Module 2 with me. And at 5 p.m., I think this is the final call, our Anti-Bias 101 class with Kathy, who I have heard amazing things about. Like, guys, I've heard so many good things about her classes. So even if you don't have children of color, I believe that there's been lots of good information in there. If you want to listen to those calls, they're all in your membership and the bonus courses. But she's wrapping up her series on Wednesday, I believe. Yes, that's the final call for that. And then we will not have any more calls until next Monday. So we will be back on track on Monday. So you've got plenty of calls this week. Y'all got 3. And then we will be back on track the following week with everything. Okay? It was a lot. Y'all have a good Saturday. Go Vols. And I'll talk to you later. Bye, y'all.